You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to you. So good to worship with you this morning. Hey, let's welcome all of our church family that's joining us online. We love you, church family. Come on, let's welcome these guys. We're one church, whether we're in person or online. So good to be with you this morning. I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. I know we have some first-time guests with us in person today as well as online. We're so glad you chose to be with us today. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. This is what I look like without a mask on. If you're wondering online, everybody has a mask on. We're all safe and socially distanced. This is legit. I'm just saying, can I get an amen, somebody? We're so glad you're with us today. Hey, just before we get into the message, I want to invite you to a brand new series that we're kicking off next Sunday called Kingdom Citizen. Come on, we're living in a time where we're more divided than ever before. Our culture is just pulling people apart. But how many of you know that what dominates the headlines doesn't have to dominate our hearts? There's only one name that can bring us all together, and his name is Jesus. And our highest allegiance is to him. And so that's what we're going to talk about the next few weeks, what it means to be a kingdom citizen. We're going to talk about our identity, who we are, who we're called to be. We're going to talk about unity and mission. And I really believe that this is a series that's going to help you navigate these next few crazy weeks as we make our way through this election season. So plan on being here. It's going to be relief. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be good for you. And invite somebody to be with us as we kick off this new series next Sunday. Amen. All right, we're going to get into the message today. We are wrapping up our series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Anxious for Nothing. Has this series helped anybody out? Anybody been a little bit encouraged? I know it's been good for me. I've been preaching to myself this whole series. And so today we're going to finish out strong, and we're going to review the passage of Scripture that's been driving us through this whole series for 4 weeks. It comes from Philippians chapter 4. I hope that reviewing this Scripture each week, it's helping it to get deep down in your soul, in your spirit, because it's a really powerful Scripture. And before we do that, let me just remind you of the background here. The Apostle Paul is writing to these Philippian Christians, these Christians that he loved dearly in the city of Philippi, and he's encouraging them, and he's writing from house arrest in Rome. Like locked up with a Roman guard 24/7. And I want you to feel for just a moment the uncertainty of this season of his life, okay? Here he is awaiting trial before Caesar, like waiting to find out what his sentence is going to be, what the verdict's going to be, life or death. Is he going to live? What's going to happen? I mean, talk about a season where Paul could have been overcome by anxiety. Just sit with that uncertainty for just a moment, because we know that uncertainty often breeds anxiety. And so here's Paul in this uncertain moment of his life, and yet he writes these encouraging, faith-filled words. Let's look at them together. Maybe you want to read them out loud with me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Some translations say, be anxious for nothing. Come on, somebody read that out loud with me, online, in person. Be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So today, I want to talk to you about decision-making, because some of you might find yourself right now in a season of life where you're trying to make a decision, maybe some big decisions in life, and you're not experiencing the peace of God right now. That decision and those decisions that you're making as we're all going through this season of transition in life, maybe it's stressing you out, it's weighing heavy on you, it's overwhelming you, it's causing you to feel anxious, it's causing you to feel afraid. One of the most common ways that we experience stress is what researchers call decision anxiety. Decision anxiety. Anybody been there before? Like this is documented. This actually causes people to become frozen in fear, because we get to this place where we're so afraid to make the wrong decision, to mess up our lives, that we just get stuck and we get overwhelmed by anxiety. And some of you are right there right now. Come on, let's just pray. I'm really believing for God to do something special in your life today. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this faith-filled Scripture that's been speaking to our lives these past few weeks. Lord, right now, some of us are in the midst of making a big decision, some big decisions weigh on our hearts and minds, and we've been overwhelmed. Right now, Lord, we open our hearts, we surrender to you, and we receive your peace that passes, that transcends all understanding. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, would you say amen? Amen. Well, how many of you have ever experienced this decision-making anxiety? Have you been there before? I mean, making decisions can be stressful at times. So many big life decisions, right? Do I take this job or do I stay where I'm at? Do I stay renting in this house or do I buy a house? Do I keep driving this car and try to squeeze as much as I can get out of it? Or do I buy a new car so that I have to pay for repairs on this one, right? Do I go to that college that I really want to get in, that I really wanted to get into, that's really expensive, but I'm going to go into debt? Or do I stay and go to community college, which might not be the place I really wanted to go, but it's going to save me a lot of money? Do I swipe right on this person's profile on the dating website, or do I go for this person? What if I end up with the wrong person and I miss out on the one that God has me and I mess up my whole life? It can be complicated, can't it? Making decisions can be complicated. A few weeks ago, I looked into refinancing my mortgage because the interest rates are really low right now and it's supposed to be a good time to refinance. So I Googled, you know, started Googling information on refinancing my mortgage. Oh my gosh, it's stressful. Like the first 20 websites you get are advertisements, right? Everybody's competing for your business. You're reading something here, different there. And then you go on the websites, like, I'm just trying to figure out how to even shop for this. And it's like, you got to shop the right way or you'll get taken in, you'll get ripped off. You got to look for all the rates on the same day because the rates change like every other day. And I'm like, I just wanted to refinance my house. Like, it's so complicated. So complicated. It was stressing me out. Researchers tell us that the emerging generation, some of you high schoolers and college-age people, Gen Z, is the most stressed-out generation in history. Like the demographic that is most likely to respond to a survey that they're experiencing like mental distress due to anxiety is Generation Z. And just maybe this is connected to the first generation being raised on social media and smartphones. I'm just saying, maybe there's a connection there. And so here's the question. Why are we so anxious about decision-making? Why are we so stressed by this? Why is it so overwhelming? Well, I have a few ideas for you today. You can tell me if these resonate. Here's the first one. Number one, we have way too many options. We have too many options. I call this the Netflix syndrome. You ever laying in bed and you got your smartphone or your tablet and you're scrolling through trying to pick out something you want to watch on Netflix and you're like, oh, this show looks really good, but I don't know, that show looks really good too. Or do I want to, oh, I heard about this movie, I'd kind of want to watch that, but then there's this new series that everybody's talking about. And then like 20 minutes later, you find yourself scrolling, not even knowing what you want to watch. Have you ever been there before? I know that's happened to me. And yet, it's amazing if you get on an airplane and they're only showing 5 movies, you know exactly what you want to watch. It's so easy, right? We have so many choices that we end up being overwhelmed. I mean, we live in a world where there are so many options, so many possibilities, so many choices. We can do anything. We can go anywhere. And you would think it would make our lives simpler, but instead we're stressed out by it. We're overwhelmed by it. Why are we so anxious? Here's the other thought. Number two, we're afraid of making a costly mistake. Isn't that true? We're so afraid of making a costly mistake. We don't want to mess up our lives. We don't want to make the wrong decision. We don't want to make some irreversible decision that sets us back. I'd say spiritually speaking, we don't want to miss out on God's will. We come to church and we hear messages about the will of God and God's purpose for our lives. And there's this sense like, I don't want to mess up, you know, what God's will is for my life. And quite often people come to me and ask me for prayer. Pastor, would you pray for me? Like, I'm making this really big decision, you know, about this move or, you know, in my career. Or should I take this job or should I get into this relationship? And I just want to make sure that I'm in God's will. I don't want to be outside of God's will. Like, Pastor, pray for me. How do I know that I'm in God's will? And so what happens is we end up, you know, not being sure with what to do, and we don't want to make an irreversibly bad decision, so we hesitate. And so we freeze, and we begin to feel the anxiety, right? And we become indecisive, and we don't do anything. And how many of you know that indecision is a decision? Indecision is a decision to do nothing. And we've all been there before. So maybe some of those reasons resonate with you, but I want to give you one simple thought today. Come on, catch your breath. I'm not going to stress you. I'm going to help you simplify it today. Come on, somebody came to church today. Make it simple for me, Pastor. Make it simple for me. I'm here to just help you with one simple thought. Don't complicate it. We're going to try to uncomplicate it today. Here's what I want us to do. We're going to look at a powerful scripture from Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, let me just tell you what's going on here, okay? The leaders of the church, some of the early apostles, men like Paul and Barnabas and James, the brother of our Lord, they were actually dealing with some really complicated issues. They had some complicated decisions to make about the future of the church. So they met in Jerusalem. This is called the Jerusalem Council, to make some decisions. And they were dealing with issues like what dietary laws from the Old Testament should still be observed now. And questions like, you know, do Gentile believers, what do they have to do? Because it was mostly a Jewish Christian church at first, Jewish converts. But what happens is now we're reaching more Gentiles. Like, what do they have to observe? Do they have to be circumcised to be saved? By the way, newsflash, men, the answer was no. Come on, all of you men can breathe easy. Imagine if that was the requirement for church membership these days. Ouch. We can't even get some of you to get baptized. Circumcision? Wow. All right, don't take yourself too serious this morning. It's okay to laugh in church, all right? So these were some really important doctrinal issues, like really important things. Like these were things that, here you had the heavyweights of the church, the apostles, and these were serious doctrinal issues. These were spiritual weighty decisions that were going to affect people's souls, people's lives. You can kind of feel the weight of making the right choice. And so we're going to read about how they made their decision. And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice the phrase seemed good. In fact, every time as we read the scripture out loud, I want you to say it out loud with me, seemed good. Whether you're here with us at the Carver Center or you're joining us online, maybe you might even want to type it in the comments, seemed good. Let's read this together. Acts 15, we're going to skip around verse 22, 25, and 28. Here's what it says. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Verse 25, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. So here we have the apostles, they're gathered together in Jerusalem. They're weighing out these weighty matters, making these big decisions. And they come together in this consensus, and they essentially express, it seems good to us not to make it any more difficult for these Gentile believers. Like, we're not going to make them jump through any extra hoops. We're going to keep the basics of the gospel the basics. And so what do you do if you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, and Scripture doesn't speak directly to your decision? And you have to kind of discern, right? Just like the apostles here had to discern. Like, they made it look so easy. We might even say, well, we could just do what seems good. It worked for the apostles. It should work for us. Why don't we just do what seems good? Well, there's just one problem with that, and I'm going to illustrate it for you, okay? Let me ask you a question. This is going to sound funny at first, but how do you feel when you're wrong? How do you feel when you're wrong? Maybe embarrassed. Maybe you might feel stupid. Maybe you might feel a little bit, you know, humbled, a little bit humiliated. Well, here's the truth. That's how you feel when you find out you're wrong. How do you feel when you're wrong? You actually feel right. Think about it. When you're wrong, you're just as convinced that you're right. I mean, this happens to us all the time. I know it happens to me as a husband. Come on, married people, you can relate to this. But, you know, Amy and I were quite often having discussions, you know, very tense discussions, let's just call it what it is. Every now and then we're having an argument, and I'm just convinced I'm right, and I'm giving all of my reasons and making my point, and Amy's just sitting by like, okay, keep going, whatever. And then when I shut up, she tells me something. She supplies some information that I didn't know, and I find out I'm wrong, and I'm like, well, why didn't you just tell me that in the first place? And she's like, well, if you would just shut up and let me get a word in. But I was convinced I was right. The problem is I was wrong. There was some information that I didn't have. How do you feel when you're wrong? You often feel right. In fact, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, this is just some good Old Testament wisdom. Look at this. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So right there, there's a way that seems right to us, but it often leads to death. See, if you are around the wrong people, listening to the wrong voices, living for the wrong values, what seems right will often be wrong. There are people all around us every day, coworkers, neighbors, friends, family, who are making decisions that at the time seem right, but they're decisions that lead to death. Making decisions that seem right. Well, if I could just get into business with this person, if I could just take this shortcut, if I could just, you know, get into this harmless relationship, if I could do this or do that, and at the time it seems really smart, seems really expedient, seems really good, but it's actually wrong and it leads to death and destruction. Happens all the time. In fact, I wonder if there are just some people in here who have lived long enough to have a little bit of wisdom, and you can look back on your life and admit there have been times in your life where you thought you were doing the exact right thing, and then you found out you were wrong. Anybody? Am I the only one. Come on. Let's have a little group therapy session this morning. And so how could Paul and James and Barnabas and these other church leaders be so comfortable making a decision that just this seemed right? I mean, such a big, weighty decision that seemed right. Well, let's look at our passage again. Let's look at our passage again because there are a few phrases here that we breezed right over that we just kind of missed. So let's look at this again, Acts 15, 22, 25, 28. Here's what it says. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Verse 25, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. How many of you know there's a big difference between one person, you, all by yourself making a decision that could lead to death? There's a big difference between that and what seems good to a whole community of believers who are devoted to hearing the voice of God, who are devoted to seeking God's will and God's wisdom. There's a big difference between those two. What do we see here, right? They were able to act on what seemed right because the whole church was unified. Because they were of one mind, because they were in agreement with each other and with the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? Do you see the difference, how powerful that is? And I think many times we often feel anxiety, especially in this area of making decisions, because we're trying to follow God all by ourselves. We're trying to follow God like solo, like individual, like I can take this Christianity thing and kind of do it by myself. And we're doing it outside of the very body that God gave us to belong to. We're doing outside of the very place that God wants us rooted and planted, in the house of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God. And you're feeling that stress and anxiety because you weren't meant to do it by yourself. We need each other. Come on, you don't just go to church, you don't just watch church, you don't just consume church, you are the church. You're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the church and we need each other. Like, we're a spiritual family. We're a spiritual family. What do? We care for each other. We look after each other. I saw some examples of that just this week. You know, one of our team members, one of our family church members had a surgery, and I saw our church rally around to care and to send meals and to send prayers. What do? We care for each other. We pray for each other. We help each other make those decisions. When somebody strays, we say, hey, we've been missing you. We haven't seen you in a while. Haven't seen you on a Sunday morning. Haven't seen you online. Haven't seen you serving on the team lately. This is why we encourage you to get plugged into a life group, because we really believe we're better together. We really believe we need relationships. This is why we encourage you to serve on a team. We want something for you, not something from you. If you join a life group, what does that do for me? Like, I don't get any money if you join a life group. I'm just letting you know. It's for you. It's for you to be in relationship. It's for you to get connected so you don't have to do this alone. And here's the difference between facing a difficulty, a big decision about work, about life, about finances, about a relationship, about a marriage that's struggling, some issue that you're dealing with. Here's the difference between going it alone and being connected with other believers. When you're in relationship, when you got spiritual family, you got some people around you encouraging you. You got some people saying, hey, let me pray for you. You might even have somebody that God sends in your life who's like, hey, I walked through that very same thing. I've been through cancer before. I've been through divorce before. I've been through bankruptcy before. Come on. I've been through a situation just like that. And let me just tell you how God got me through it. Come on, let me just share some scriptures with you that have spoken to me, that are promised for me. Let me just share this, and maybe this is something you want to grab a hold of. Do you see the difference? You got some people praying with you in your corner, cheering you on, loving you. And so you can step out and say, okay, God, I've got some people around me. I'm going to do the best I know to do and trust you with the rest. And there's a peace that comes over your life. It seemed good to us. And the Holy Spirit seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. So one thought, I told you I was going to simplify it for you today. One thought that I really believe is going to bring this whole series home for us today. How do we make the right decision in an anxious culture, in a culture where we experience fatigue from making decisions because we make so many decisions every day? How do we cut through the anxiety and the weight of these big decisions? Here we go. You can put this in your notes today. With a posture of prayer and a perspective of praise, we will seek God and do what seems right. Come on, think about our scripture that we've been looking at every week, right? Philippians, from Philippians. In everything, with prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, there's praise. We will make our requests known to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. He's going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus with a posture of prayer. And everything we're going to pray with a perspective of praise. Come on, a spirit of thanksgiving. We're going to seek God. We're going to pray about everything. Remember, anxiety is a signal alerting you that it's time to pray. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's on your heart, it's on God's heart. Come on, we're going to review the series a little bit here, right? Praise, a perspective of praise, it changes you. It may not change your circumstances, but it always changes you. Let's take everything we've learned in these past few weeks and condense it here. We're going to do all of those things and seek God and do what seems right. And here's the beautiful thing. We're going to do it together. Come on, this isn't just me out here by myself making a decision, not sure if it's the way of death. No, I'm going to get some other believers around me. I'm going to be intentional about relationship. We're doing this. We're in this together as a church family. We're going to seek God together. Well, Pastor, what if I mess up? What if I mess up? Pastor, what if I get it wrong? What if I make a mistake? What if I miss out on what God has for me? What if I go on a date with the wrong person and they're not the right person and I get confused and I miss out on the right one that God has for me? What do I do? What if I make a wrong turn? Can I just encourage you? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, and we know that in all things, come on, somebody say all things. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I went back and looked this verse up in the original Greek. Guess what all things means? It means all things. Even wrong turns, even bad decisions. Come on, every so often we all take a wrong turn. It happens to us even in the modern world with GPS. I hate it when I take a wrong turn, even more so with GPS, because the little lady's telling me what to do. And you guys have heard me say this before. I really believe men that women got together and created GPS because they were tired of fighting with their significant others about directions. Have you ever noticed it's always a little lady's voice? I'm just saying, guys, women all around the globe are snickering at us. They're laughing at us as we take directions from the little lady on GPS. But, you know, every now and then you're coming up on a turn and it's like, make a right turn. And sometimes it's the right turn. It's like right there, or it's the next right turn. And I'm like, which one is it? And usually I yell at Amy, right? Like, which one is it? I can't see. And then I miss the turn. And I hate missing a turn. It offends my male pride. Everything in me, like the testosterone in my blood, just starts boiling. And Amy will tell you, I'm like cursing at the GPS. Not literally, but you know, I'm fighting with the GPS, and I like to blame it on her. That's not good marriage advice. Don't do that. Blame it on the GPS. Don't blame it on your significant other. And so here I am. I'm upset with the GPS. But let me ask this question. What do you do when you miss a turn? What does your GPS do? Does your GPS give up on you? Does your GPS shut down and say, well, you missed a turn. You're screwed. I'm shutting off now. No, right? What does your GPS do? Your GPS keeps working. It starts working to what? To reroute you. What if I take a wrong turn in life, Pastor? What if I make the wrong decision? What if I mess things up? Come on, if we take a wrong turn, God doesn't give up on you. He's still working. He just starts rerouting you to get you back on track. Come on. He doesn't shut down. He doesn't say, you took a wrong turn. It's over. You might as well give up and quit being a Christian. No, he keeps working. He keeps working. He starts right away to reroute you. One wrong turn isn't going to keep me from the destination that God has for me. Come on, somebody got up and came to the early service this morning online, came into this gym this morning to hear. One wrong turn is not going to keep me from the destination, from the destiny that God has for my life. You ought to say amen right about now. Come on, God has a way of bringing good things out of wrong turns. God has a way of bringing good things out of wrong turns. I've said it the other way, that God often uses detours to get us to our destination. Some of you, you've made some wrong turns in life. Some of you got the scars to prove it. You've been on more detours than anybody else you know. You've taken the scenic route before in life. But stop and think about it. It didn't stop you from getting where God would have you. You're here today. You're alive. You're still walking with him. Come on, it doesn't matter what you've experienced. God is a redemptive God. Do we really believe what we say we believe? I love the name of this church, Redemption Community Church. There's a reason we named it that. We really believe in this redemptive message. God is a redemptive God. One wrong turn isn't going to mess up your life. We serve the God who's able to redeem wrong turns. We serve the God who's working even when you're out in the weeds, even when you're out building your testimony. He sees you. He's got you. Nothing catches him by surprise. He's ordering your steps, and he's able to redeem wrong turns. And you're like, well, Pastor, I got into a relationship with that person. I should have never got into that relationship. Well, yeah, we could have told you. But now when God sends the right person into your life, that godly woman, that godly man that you meet on ChristianMingle.com, and they honor you, and you can tell they really love God, now you recognize it, and you see the value in it. You see the difference. Pastor, I should have never opened my heart to that person. I trusted that person and they hurt me and I knew that was going to happen to me. I should have never opened my heart. Yeah, but you learned something about forgiveness that you never would have learned if you hadn't gone through that. Pastor, I made that decision. Messed up my life. Months, years, set me back. Paid the price for it. Should have never made that decision. Well, maybe you shouldn't, but you learned something about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God to carry you through that situation that you never would have known. Come on, one wrong turn won't keep you from your destination. We serve the God who has a way of bringing good things out of wrong turns. Come on, don't complicate it this morning, church, with a posture of prayer and a perspective of praise. We're going to seek God and do what seems right. God, I'm going to, in everything by prayer and petition, God, I'm going to petition you. God, I've got to know your will. God, I've got to hear from you. God, I'm going to get some other believers around me speaking into my life, and with thanksgiving, with praise, I'm going to worship you through it all. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to quit being frozen in indecision. I'm going to step out in faith and make a decision, and I'm going to trust you with the rest. I'm going to do what seems right, and I can say, it is well with my soul. God, whatever happens, my life is in your hands. My future's in your hands. My family's in your hands. My health, my finances. I'm going to do the best, and even if I get it wrong, God, it is well with my soul. I can trust you, God. Come on, we're going to pray into this morning. I want to invite you to stand with me. Some of you, that's you right now. You have a decision weighing on your heart, maybe multiple decisions. We're all in a season of transition. Life is swirling right now. Why don't you stand with me? Maybe you're at home. You want to stand up on in your living room, wherever you're watching right now. And we're going to pray into this morning. I'm really believing for a breakthrough as we close out this series, believing for God to do something special in your life. We're going to ask God for wisdom. We're going to ask for his peace. We're going to ask for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. God, we thank you that we can bring everything to you in prayer. God, we thank you and we come to you today in a spirit of thanksgiving. We remember your faithfulness, how you've looked after us, how you've taken care of us, how you've met our needs in the past. And Lord, right now, I pray for those who are facing a decision, maybe multiple decisions that are overwhelming them. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would surround them with the right voices. Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us so that we can say it seemed right to us and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we step out in faith and we make that decision and we trust you with the rest. We do what seems right. And God, whatever happens, our life is in your hands. Our future is in your hands and we experience your peace that passes all understanding. And now as we keep praying right now, I want to pray for those of you who are joining us this morning, and today you don't know that peace. You would say, Pastor, I want to know the peace that you're describing. I want to know God that way. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you went to Sunday school or you went to religious education, whatever, and you knew something about God, but you've never had that kind of relationship with God. Maybe you have somebody who invited you to join us today online or here at the Carver Center, and they have that kind of faith, and you'd say, I want that. There's something inside of me today that I feel drawn to this. I know I need to experience this peace. Today, it's your turn to make the most important decision of your life. It's your turn today to say yes to Jesus. We believe it's the gentle tug of the Holy Spirit of God, a gracious, loving, merciful God who sent his son Jesus to you, and he's drawing you to himself today. Come on, it's time to get off the fence. Today is your day to say yes to Jesus. So if that's you, I want to pray with you this morning. Come on, every head bowed in this place. If that's you, maybe you want to just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're online today and you want to say in the comments, I want to say yes to Jesus. If that's you, come on, 1, 2, 3. Pastor, pray for me. Come on, just slip your hand up today. If that's, come on, hands going up. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you right now for your grace. And if that's you, pray with me. We say, Jesus, I give you my yes. Jesus, I give you my yes. I choose to place my faith in you today. I choose to trust you. Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are. I receive you as my Savior. Come on, pray this with me. I receive you as my Savior. I turn from my sins. And I receive your peace that passes all understanding. My life today, I make you my Lord and Savior. I give you my yes. Father, bless every person who prayed that prayer today. Father, we thank you for the witness of your Spirit that testifies on the inside of us that we're reborn, never the same, sons and daughters of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Somebody ought to give God praise in this place. Come on, let's lift our voices to this final song together this morning, church.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.